Kim Laird.
Hi, Kim.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How are you? How's school? Just started, right?
Well, the kids aren't in until Wednesday.
Ah, well, that's good.
Today was just meetings and all the fun, you know, garbage stuff beforehand.
Very good. Brandy and I are both here.
I was going to say, is Brandy there? Brandy, did you get the couple of updates to the agenda, like the list of volunteers to approve and that?
Okay.
I don't know if you received that last one.
Don't think it did.
Okay.
We have quite the agenda.
Yeah, well, we're aboard with a lot on our plate. And I'm expecting a lot of this agenda can actually go fairly quickly. One or two things won't. So, Brandy, anything that isn't in the agenda that you have in front of you, just add in. I can help you out on this
Ken
by sending it to you later.
Okay.
Hello, Ken.
Hey, what's up?
How are you doing?
I'm here.
I know the feeling. I just ran back from Rob's dad's house. Rob's dad broke on Monday.
Whoa. Okay.
That was loud.
Hi, sorry, this is Holly.
Hi, Holly.
Hey.
That was a grand entrance.
Yeah, my computer got ahead of me a little bit.
That's okay. Yeah, Rob's dad had a mini stroke on Monday, so I've been running back and forth trying to... Plus, he's diabetic and doesn't eat properly, so...
Yeah.
I've been trying to feed him properly and get him to get up and move around. And yeah, I've been playing nursemaid on top of everything else.
Richard Innocent.
Oh, man. Hi, Richard.
Hey,
Richard.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Is that Tom?
Yep.
I was kidding. Oh, well, there's Tom.
Hello.
I'm sorry, as we're waiting for everyone, I'm just sort of catching up on forum posts.
Okay.
Hey, Kim?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Just remind me who this is.
I imagine this is Anthony.
Hi, Anthony. I recognize the voice, but I'm brain dead right now.
Yes, right now.
How is your trip?
It's all right. Going. I imagine you're going to have some difficulty hearing me at times.
We'll bear with it. No problem.
All right.
We're just glad you're here. Okay. Is Tom here yet?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, so Tom is here. Kevin, did Kevin check
Hello.
In yet?
This is Kevin Macbeth.
Yep. Yeah, I keep forgetting we have, like, a whole lot of Kevins on board.
Two, actually.
Anthony is here. All right. If everyone, it seems like a lot of people are here already, so we have a lot ahead of us, so let me go ahead and call the meeting to order. I have 8:03 Eastern Time. Roll call. Kim Laird is here. Anthony Shave.
Here.
Kevin Axtell.
Here.
Ken Ferris?
Here.
Richard Kennison?
Here.
Kevin Macbeth?
Here.
Tom Wall?
Here.
Brandy Slater, recording secretary?
Here.
And Holly Greeley, bookkeeper?
Here.
Is anyone else present at this time?
I'm Mike Sullivan's here, Kim.
Hi, Mike. I didn't know you were here.
And Marilyn.
And I think Marilyn's on, too.
Yay, Marilyn. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, so we have...
You don't really need to... don't mean to hone in on your meeting.
It's open to members, so you're perfectly welcome. Okay, that means no one who has to be here is absent. Fantastic. We need an approval of the agenda. Does anyone wish to make the motion?
I move to approve the agenda for August 24th, 2009.
Okay. And we need a second.
Second.
All right. Are there any corrections or additions that anyone can think of? I had emailed or posted on the forum, I believe, the motion to approve the various volunteer positions of those who have responded.
I have the PayPal motion I mentioned to you yesterday.
Oh, yes. We do need to add a motion concerning PayPal as well. So with those two changes, is everything else okay? If I hear no objection, then the agenda, anyone opposed to approval of the agenda? Anyone abstain? If not, the agenda is approved. We now need to approve the minutes from July 14th. There were actually three sets of minutes there, the general meeting, the meeting prior to the AGM, and the 10:30 p.m. meeting, which was held after the show. Does anyone have any corrections to make to those minutes? Oh, I should ask this first. We need a motion to approve those minutes.
I move to approve the minutes from the previously stated meetings.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know the voices yet.
No, that was Ken Ferris. Sorry.
And that was me, Kevin, with the second.
For the first meeting or two, if we say our names as we speak, it is helpful.
Yeah, sure.
I know sometimes we'll forget, but just remind us, Brandy, okay?
Okay.
Okay. If there are no corrections to those three sets of minutes, then we go to a vote. Is there anyone opposed to the approval?
Actually, I have a question.
Sure.
We mentioned there are three sets of minutes, but I see two on the website.
Did the pre AGM meeting make it there? I'm sorry. Let me go back.
I see a 1 minute long meeting.
That was probably the 10:30 p.m. one.
No, it's 1:36 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And then there's a second meeting that has 10:30 p.m., but I don't see the full AGM meeting posted.
All right, then we cannot approve that one yet. That Chuck has the minutes from those and apparently has not forwarded them to David Landown as of yet, so I will ask him to do so, and we'll approve those at the next meeting. So let's change the minutes to two sets to include the pre-AGM and the 10:30 p.m. meeting.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Anyone opposed to the approval of those minutes? Any abstentions? If not, those minutes are approved. We need to approve the minutes from the July 17th meeting held at Winston-Salem. And just let me see, those are on the website. All right, we need a motion to approve the minutes from July 17th.
I move to approve the minutes from July 17th, Kevin Exto.
And a second?
Tom Wall, second.
Okay. Any changes to be made to those? Any corrections, I should say? If not, is there anyone opposed? Abstentions? All right, those minutes are approved. On to reports. Mike, do you have a 2009 Fest report for us?
Yes, I do, Kim. Thanks to Holly, we have what I would consider to be a final P&L for the Fest. I'm not expecting any other expenses to come in if the only one that we might have seen at this point would have been from the Renegade Space owner. And since it's about 6 weeks after the fest now and we haven't heard from him, I don't expect that we will. So he apparently was satisfied with the bar business that we brought in, and we don't owe him anything. So with that said, it looks like we have made about $34,000 this year. Our expenses were 16% below my budget, and revenue was about 2% above our goal. So the net effect of that is that we made twice as much money as planned. I will point out that almost all of the expenses, with just about three exceptions, were fixed, regardless of the number of attendees that we had. And therefore, if we had had another 50 or 100 or 200 people show up,
Martin,
we would have made a lot more money. And if only one person showed up, we still would have made about $1,000. The reason I say that is because we brought in about $34,000 total. About $25,000 of that came in once the fest started, that money that we received on site. And so you can think about it in the way that we actually made a $10,000 profit before the fest started. And our only variable expenses once the fest started was for T-shirts, for the Saturday night dinner, and really not much else. So it was a profitable festival all the way through, and I'm glad it turned out that way, and I appreciate everybody's help with all of that.
Fabulous.
Well done, Mike.
Mike.
You rock.
Well, thank you. And pardon?
You can't see me right now, but I'm giving you a standing ovation.
Well, thanks.
Awesome.
I will say also that I'm only going to take credit for the things I can control. And a lot of the reason that this fest came in so far under budget is because we had a facility and a city that wanted to work with us. Mm-hmm. I'll give you one example. We did the subsidized airport shuttle for our visitors flying in to the airport, and we charged them $15. The city offered us a $2,400 grant to subsidize all of those, which meant that we could have sold 200 shuttle rides and not used up all of the subsidy. In fact, we used more than $2,400 worth of shuttle rides. We used about $2,900 worth of limo and shuttle services for all of our VIPs and all of our attendees. And when I brought that to the city, they said, well, your grant's only for $2,400. We'll go back to our board of directors and get you the extra money. So they went back to the city and got another $451. And they paid our entire ground transportation bill, which means that we kept all of the money that we collected from all of our attendees, and that was pure profit to the IJA. Now, I don't know how many other cities we're going to find that will do that for you.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's just one example. They really did. One other example would be that midway through the week, we decided that we needed a way to patch in an iPod into the North Main Hall performance space for some of the competitions. And normally they charge $80 a day for that. Well, they charged us $80 for the first day and then didn't charge us for the whole rest of the week because it just sat there and stayed set up, and they're not trying to gouge us. So it's all kinds of things like that that add up that made for our expenses coming in 16% below budget. So there really is a big benefit to the IJA of holding our convention in a city that wants us and that we've worked in before and that we know we can be successful in. And that's all I got to say on this year's fest. So if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, what else do you say? But wow, phenomenal job, and it takes a team working together. Mike, the fact that they wanted to work with you, not just the IJA, but you are a consummate professional when you speak to these people, and you know, there's a mutual respect thing going on there, and that helped us that help the IJA to get a lot as well. So thank you
thank
so
you
much.
Very much, Kim.
Mike?
It's very kind of you to say. Yes?
What was the total expense, total of all expenses?
Total expense was $80,785.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions for Mike? If not, I have 2010 Fest here, and really the only report on that at this point is that we are still in search of a Fest director. We have more discussion on that later on in the meeting, so perhaps we would just want to skip over the 2010 Fest report item at this point. Is anyone opposed to that?
Kim, this is Holly. I do have one question about it.
Sure.
I might. Yeah, am I right that the facility cost for the 2010 Fest is zero? Is that right? We're not paying for the facility?
That's what I understand from the contract. If we meet our number of room nights, then the facility costs us nothing. Mike, can you verify that for me? Because I know you've looked at the contract as well.
Yeah. I should have reread the contract before the meeting, but I think you're both right that they're not charging us for our meeting space. However, I can't find anywhere in the contract that we have signed that we have a theater rented. And unless they're going to, unless we can figure out how to use the rooms that they're giving us for free for our theater, we need to rent a theater because it's not in the space manifest that they sent us. And I'm thinking what they're thinking is that we're going to go ahead and set up bleachers like we did in Portland and have a staging company come in and erect a stage and everything in the middle of a giant ballroom. So I'm real concerned about that because nowhere in the contract does it say that we have the use of a theater anywhere. And that's the biggest thing that I'd be concerned about right now.
Okay.
The other thing, of course, is that this is a casino, and they're not in the business of giving away anything. Unlike a city's Convention and Visitors Bureau that has a lot of incentive to help us. Being in a casino, it's undoubtedly a union house, which means that everything we want to plug into the wall, every light that we want pointed somewhere is going to cost us money. And everything that we want to do that's not specifically permitted in the contract is probably going to cost us extra money. For example, if someone like Matt Hall brings their own personal video projector to the convention and wants to use it in a workshop room, according to the contract that we signed, they're going to charge us $50 for that just for the pleasure of using our own equipment. So there's a lot of very odious terms in this contract that I think are going to bite us at some point, and we need to be very careful as we proceed with this.
Okay, so we really shouldn't plan on a facility cost of zero then?
No,
I think that was their proposal to us, Holly, to get us to sign the contract.
Yeah, okay.
And then they'll extract their pound of flesh as time goes by.
And if we do not meet 80% of our contracted room nights, the IJA is responsible for paying for those extra room nights.
And do we know what that adds up to?
Let me look here. I'll open the contract here again in a second and tell you. We have contracted at $97 a night. So as per the contract, we will owe them the difference in how many rooms we sell, the difference between however many rooms we sell and 80% of our contracted rate times $97 per room night.
How many?
And we, yeah.
And it's actually $97 plus a $5 per night hotel fee.
Yes, that is
so
true.
So it's actually $102.
Yep.
And how many room nights are we contracted for?
150 on Monday, 175 Tuesday, 200 Wednesday, 200 Thursday, 200 Friday, 150 Saturday, a total of 1,125 room nights.
Okay.
And didn't
now we have already, yeah, we already did reduce it by 10%, and we will. I would recommend that we do exercise our second option to reduce it another 10%.
That's in January.
Because, yeah, there's no penalty to go over. There is a penalty to go under.
But there's no penalty for reducing it? I mean, we can do
no, that. We are granted. We are granted two reductions in the contract with no penalty.
Oh, we definitely should reduce it then.
Yeah.
Yes. We already exercised our first option, and we should do the same on the second option when the time comes.
Yeah.
The only risk of going of reducing it is if suddenly lots of people come, some of them may not be able to get rooms. But,
yep.
You know, the hotel may charge them more or may not have any rooms. But it seems, I don't know how likely that is. Anyway, that's not a terrible concern of ours.
Yeah, what was our total room night count this year?
About 931.
Okay. I say we definitely reduce it as much as we possibly can.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I should say, Holly, that the 931 only counted our two hotels under contract. I have heard from both the Hawthorne Inn and a couple of the outlying motels that would probably account for another 100 to 150 room nights of people staying outside of the Marriott and Embassy. So we can say that we brought in about 1,000 or 1,100 room nights to Winston-Salem, but we only got credit for the people who stayed at the Embassy Suites or the Marriott.
But those other people also, if they were going to Sparks, would be likely to stay elsewhere again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because a lot of them stayed at $49 a night microtels by the highway.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Mike. That answers my question.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that's something, the theater is something we definitely need to check into very, very quickly, I would think. Would you be willing to check about that with the theater since you've already been in touch with them in Sparks? Or would you prefer
that? Yes, I can do that. I've got a floor plan here from the hotel, and I can match that up with what's in our contract, and that's what makes me think we don't have a theater.
Shouldn't you talk to Todd, in fact, see what his plan was?
No, I haven't. And I could. And there could be a side deal or another contract for a theater that he forgot to tell us about or something. But right now there's no theater in our contract with the Nugget.
Okay. Yeah, we need to find out about that quickly.
Yep.
We can take care of that. So if you're willing to do that, I would appreciate it. Okay.
Sure.
All right. Any other questions about the 2010 Fest at this point? If not, financial, Holly?
I'm actually going to send the treasurer's report over to the treasurer.
Fantastic.
Hello.
Hello, Kevin.
All right, so stuff that's happened recently, well, you already heard about the 2009 profit and loss statement. Mike brought that up. And then we also filed our tax return for 2008 about a week and a half ago. And then we have a few things we need to do from a financial standpoint, and I'll start talking with Holly about these in the near future. We need to do a 2010 organization budget for the IJA as a whole, as well as a 2010 festival budget. And then Holly and I have also been talking about doing some accounting controls, particularly with regards to debit cards, as well as some method of inventorying the stuff we have, because have a very good count of that right now, at least when it comes to stuff we can actually put on our tax returns that says, yes, these are our assets. So that's all I've got.
That's great. Any questions for Kevin or for Holly? Thank you for getting the 990 in, Holly. I know that was a concern because of the e-file thing being late. So thank you both for your work on that.
Yeah, they kept us waiting until the very last minute, and thanks, Kevin, for getting it done on time. because it requires a team effort.
I guess one comment for next year, will we be filing taxes like during the normal time?
We can, yeah. The reason that it was held up this year is because the forms for the 990 were completely redesigned this year by the IRS, and the filing requirements were changed. And the website that we used to e-file did not have the new forms available to us until about, 3 weeks ago. And
okay.
So we couldn't do it until then unless we found a different way of filing. But for next year, there shouldn't be any changes, so the forms are all up there now, and we can file as soon as the year ends and our books are closed.
Okay.
All righty. Anyone else questions? All right. If not, Anthony, moving on to the magazine report.
I mean, there's not really much more to report, Kim, other than what's already been said. In the last report that I sent. I mean, the biggest thing is we need to. I know there. I looked at the forum and there's a lot of. All of a sudden, there's a lot of controversy the day before the meeting. So, I guess we should probably discuss that for whoever read that.
Well, that's typical. That happened in the last magazine contract where, you know. Day before, even though it was discussed at the general meeting and it's been discussed, you know, for the past several months, the day before a decision has to be made or 2 days before, you know, we get inundated.
The
nature of the beast.
I'm kind of surprised, I guess, because there have been a lot of ample opportunity given to the membership to provide feedback.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much we can do with it when it's given the day of or the day before the break. I'm sorry to be cynical about that, but that's the way it is.
No, and I understand because I felt the same way today as I was reading some of the commentary. And I want to hear it, but I'd like to hear the input a little sooner.
Okay, well, complaining aside, I guess... I was surprised at the number of people who said we were just so quick.
Oh, we're losing you, Anthony.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So quick.
Oh, we're still losing you. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You keep fading in and out.
Probably.
You're very faint.
I can yell if that helps. Can you hear me?
That's a little yeah. Better, yeah.
Okay. I was just surprised at the number of people on the forum said, let's get rid of the magazine.
But you're talking about the Board Plus forum.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't even, I'm sure they probably didn't even review the spreadsheet I sent them all.
Yeah, it...
Yes, no.
Well, who did the spreadsheet go to? I just got it a couple of days ago.
I sent it to Board Plus.
It was actually emailed to Board Plus.
Yeah, I emailed it to Board Plus originally, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay, I think the discussion recently has come up because of the agenda for this meeting. The publication of that agenda just a few days ago, which included 5 possible options for the magazine, which weren't clear.
They were talked about, you know, this tiered system was talked about at the general meeting. Now, people didn't have it right in their hands, but they were told that we were considering a tiered system with offering a digital option.
Well, and I sent the spreadsheet to Board Plus ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing to note is, you know, some people are kind of complaining about the semantics of how we're going to arrange the tiered system. I personally think that we'll find a way. You know, if that's the way to go, we'll find a way.
But find a way to what? That you were very weak there.
if the tiered system is the correct option, then the semantics of how we're going to do it with the membership guys can be worked out bylaws. If there's a way to work it around the bylaws, so the bylaws don't have to change. I don't care how it gets worded. We can word it however the heck we want to. But the point is, if it's the right solution, we got to do it.
Right. And I think that's what we're all looking for here, is what is going to be best for the IJA at this point. And I'll be honest, personally, it scared the heck out of me when I heard so many people posting today to just scrap the magazine. Besides the fest, this is what we have. And I just don't see an IJA without some sort of good publication out there, whether it be digital, whether it be print, all right? But we need to do something.
I apologize. You guys are having trouble hearing me. But the fact of the matter is, really, we don't save all that much by going digital, because you still need to pay Alan for the content. You still need to pay Alan for the research and all the editorial work. So, I mean, Alan's prices are going to be there no matter what. The only thing you could save on if we went completely digital is getting rid of printing.
And right now, that is not our largest expense per issue.
Exactly.
Our two largest expenses for each print issue is Alan's salary and the layout and design.
Have there been any updates with the graphic design school, Kim?
That's partly my fault. I was supposed to meet with the instructor 2 weeks ago, and she had a family emergency. And as I said, this week, Rob's dad had a mini stroke, so I've been back and forth, plus he had eye surgery done a few days before that.
Perfectly understandable.
I have not had a chance to meet with her, but I did call her today from school, and we do have a meeting set up for this Friday. So.
Okay.
That's about the best I can do at this point. I have also, and Anthony, I hope you don't mind me doing this, but I had been in communication with Alan, and as we had talked about on the phone last Sunday, I've asked him if he is available for a meeting with the two of us either September 1st, 2nd, or 3rd.
No, that's fine, because I wasn't going to be able to do that.
So, you know, Anthony and I are setting up things with Alan so that we can talk about it, because Alan has already told us he needs the IJA to have a decision by October 1st. Otherwise, he needs to seek extra employment elsewhere. So we are somewhat under the gun, but personally, I only see the glasses half full, and I think we're going to be able to hammer something out where we're still going to be able to save the IJA some money, because Alan seems like he's being very cooperative, trying to find I don't want to say more reasonably priced printer, but a less expensive printer than what we've been using. He's also been trying to find magazine printers who will go as low as 500 copies and cut us prices on runs of like every 500. So he is working with us on that. Thoughts from anyone?
I didn't understand the spreadsheet you sent me.
So I'm looking at the spreadsheet right now.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like per 500 copy difference, it's, what, about $200?
It depends on what printer you go to. Those are the numbers that Anthony was working with. Alan has since found some people that are a little bit able to go a little bit more than that in savings. He's supposed to be getting together some information for us to share with the rest of the board as far as print costs.
Okay.
I mean, most of the print prices were so similar that I just picked one that was in the middle. I didn't pick the best or the worst.
Okay.
Kim.
Yes.
I didn't understand the last spreadsheet you sent me.
Okay, let me find what I sent you. Which one was
the magazine cost analysis?
Oh, where I looked over the past couple of years. All right, I just have to find where I put it.
Well, it centers around the ad revenue.
Okay.
I just didn't understand what you were trying to convey.
With the, I'm opening it up now, so.
Okay.
Oh, that actually is what Holly had sent to me. That's the breakdown from Holly. One of the things that I had spoken with Holly about last Sunday were some changes that we could possibly make in the magazine contract that would help to make a difference, whether it be through pricing or through volunteer effort. And what Holly had proposed to me was possibly two changes in the contract, actually three. Alan Howard currently gets $100, is it per issue?
Yeah, per issue.
Per issue for an expense allowance. We pay the foreign postage, and we split the ad revenue with Alan 50-50. Holly had suggested that we allow Alan, if we renegotiate a contract with him, allow him to keep all of the ad revenue, and he would be responsible for the foreign postage and would not receive an expense allowance. That's what that spreadsheet was about.
And let me just clarify, my objective in all of that was just to simplify the bookkeeping end of it, and that piece of it alone does not save us any money.
Right.
It was just to simplify it.
So that's about a break-even change?
Well, assuming that Alan would then take a reduction in his fee, yes. What I assumed was that he would keep 100% of the ad revenue, and the contract fee would be adjusted accordingly so that it was a wash. And then in addition to that, what I suggested to Kim was that maybe Alan would be willing to take a reduced fee for the contract, just in order to keep it going.
I imagine that the splitting of things and whatnot is probably a lot of work for him also. Is that correct?
I think there is some work involved in that for him. I think most of the work really is in billing and collections, which he has to do now anyway.
Okay.
But there has been issue with receiving our half of the ad revenue in a timely manner, so it would help us with our bookkeeping efforts.
Okay. In that case, I think that's fine. We can deal with that.
Okay.
Kim, if briefly we could bring up the graphic arts school again. If mm-hmm. that were to be the case, I guess hypothetically, what would Alan Howard's position be then? Would the graphic school be replacing him completely? Would he still be on
no.
fee?
No, he would still be editor, publisher of
right.
Juggle Magazine. They would just take over the layout and design, which Alan currently pays another person to do that now.
So it would reduce our costs still?
By $2,250 per issue. It comes out to a $10,000 savings per year.
And Alan stays on?
Yep.
$9,000.
Wow. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I want to make it happen. Like I said, just circumstances between the two of us these last 2 weeks haven't meshed, but
of course.
I will see her on Friday. We will do our best. She's very interested, and it would just be her honor students, her honor seniors. But I do want to talk about the timing of things since our fall issue basically has to be done prior to school actually being in.
Right.
That's the only issue that we should have a problem with, but I think that can be adjusted within their program, not within ours. We should be able to keep the same publication schedule. So,
thank you.
Keep your fingers crossed.
So, I have a quick comment on the spreadsheet, and particularly the printing cost. It looks like it costs about as much to print 500 copies and do digital as it does to just print 1,500 copies. Which seems like by splitting membership, it costs about the same, and then it increases our workload on the back end quite a bit if we're still going to keep a print copy of the magazine.
It's an excellent observation, but I think the point of the digital is this. No matter how we look at this, the cost of an IJA membership needs to increase now. So by increasing it in the time of economic difficulty and still giving some people who want to save money a cheaper alternative, we retain members.
Okay.
Yeah, was everything audible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make sense?
So you're talking not so much about raising money as keeping members.
Well, the thing is, if we don't, we have to raise membership prices to become solvent, so we don't go into the black hole that Holly's been warning us about for the last couple meetings. So if we have to raise prices, that's going to mean losing members. This is $299 is kind of a measly price to pay to try to keep some of those.
Hello?
$299.
So they're in.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
What was that amount you mentioned?
The digital price is $300 an issue.
Per issue. $1,200
yep.
a year.
Yeah.
And
hey, Martin.
Does it have DRM rights, DRM management on the digital copy?
I'm not sure what that means.
Does it protect it from people giving it to each other?
I'm fairly certain it does, but I'd have to get details on that.
What, Kevin?
Hey, Martin. How much extra labor do you think it would be to do a digital distribution?
Well, it's none. The company that does the digital magazine does all the distribution.
Right, but we also have to record memberships correctly and make sure our website takes orders correctly and make sure the payments to the IJA match up with what they select in terms of a magazine method.
Right, and I'd say it adds 50%, 25 to 50% overhead per membership registry, you know, update.
Could you give me a rough idea of number of hours?
No, because I don't know what hours we put in, the membership folks put in now.
Well, I can tell you that when it's time to print or to send mailing label data to Alan, which I did quarterly for those 4 or 5 years I was doing memberships, it took about an hour to do the Excel worksheets for the three distributions that we had, which was U.S., Canada, and international. And that was just with everybody getting one flavor. And then to
you're
have
talking about
to,
just the quarter, that's the quarterly job. I mean, 1 hour
yeah.
per quarter, even if that gets doubled, it's not horrible because it's only every quarter. The work we're talking about is how much extra work to update a registration, to add a new person. I mean, you basically just have to make sure that they paid the right amount for what they're asking for, and then check off a box that says, or don't check off a box that says they get a print copy. But you have to verify those things carefully. And the registration form, I mean, the membership form on the web, let's say, has to have the right options for people to choose whether they want a print copy or not. Basically, the print copy would be a sold extra item.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't everyone get the digital?
Yes, everybody would get the digital copy, but only those people who paid more got the print copy.
Yeah.
And so we have to keep track of which people paid more. It's a little extra hassle for each membership. You know, maybe it's not 25%, maybe it's 10% extra work
okay.
for membership.
But it sounds manageable.
Yeah.
Manageable.
Hey, Martin,
were
you, this is Marilyn, were you planning on charging more than the 35 for people that wanted to get the hard copy?
What, say that again.
Were you going to charge more for the people that want to get a hard copy than the 35 current?
Well, it's not me.
Yeah.
It's the board that's going to set
yeah.
that price. But,
I know,
yeah.
but was it going to be good as,
but yeah.
was it going to be? Was it going to be more, or was it going to be, you know, people who did want the digital be less than 35?
No, it's going to be more. It's probably going to be something like 35 and 50.
Okay.
That's what the proposals are roughly.
Well, one of the proposals, I believe, was 35, 45 or 44, and the other one was 35, 50. So the current membership price would cover digital, and the print, those with print option would see an increase in their dues.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Hey, this is Richard. What I just heard is, I think, a pretty good solution that we can finally see for real who really wants to print magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm one of those people, but this would be the proof in the pudding. And then if it fades away and everybody just wants digital, well, we gave everybody the opportunity to put their money where their mouth is. For the people I talk to, a lot of them went print, but, you know, this would be the way to do it.
I agree.
Yeah. The people who really actually do want the magazine will be able to get that magazine. They have the choice, and they'll be declining it, not being given the choice.
That's correct, and then we'll really know, hey, then the magazine is, the print magazine is dead, if it is really dead, or if it's not. Everybody steps up, and then we'll know, okay, there's still a demand, and we've made a vehicle for that to happen. I think that sounds pretty good.
I think a lot of people will take the print magazine because it's going to cost $15 a year for four
right.
copies. And you know, really poor students or something may not. Hopefully they'll still remain members at the same price as before. But they're
right.
But younger folks and poorer younger folks, let's say, are probably more attuned to reading stuff online anyway, so they're probably
that's
less right. annoyed by that.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, this provides a transition from free copies to electronical in the future, where I guess everything's going to go. But this provides a nice transition. I think this sounds pretty good.
And that's why when I posted in response to one of Martin's posts, I believe it was yesterday, I referred to this as me thinking of it as an experiment. You know, is this what our membership really wants? Because we hear things from a select few, it seems like. We never really hear from the entire membership. And I did read the one post, and I forget who posted it, suggesting that, you know, give everyone digital, and then those who want a print magazine, just let them buy it from the store, which
that
is
was not a proposal. That was a misunderstanding.
Okay.
That was not a proposal. That was not a proposal.
Okay. But I read something to that effect. I'm sorry if I misunderstood. You know, it's going to show us whether people want the digital or whether we need to try and keep print.
Absolutely.
If we can make a few changes in the contract, I think we're going to be in good shape. Or a decent shape. I shouldn't say good shape. And as Holly pointed out to me in our phone conversation last Sunday, you know, for as much as I know some people don't like the idea of the Fest helping to subsidize our magazine, it does. And at this point, you know, if our Fest keeps doing well, then we're in good shape. Everything within this organization is very interconnected.
Yep.
You know, I think it's also a misconception that the festival is subsidizing the magazine. To be honest, there are so many costs that are not absorbed by the Fest that really should be, and my fee is a big piece of it. I mean, I would say a good 80% of what I do is related to the festival. Because the rest of the year, there's very little activity. I mean, there's the 990, that's another big piece. But most of my time is spent recording transactions for the festival and paying bills for the festival and creating financial statements for the festival. And yet we don't take any of that fee and allocate it to the festival. And most of the board's time, frankly, is spent supporting the festival. And yet none of the general operating expenses are allocated to the festival. So if you allocated all of that really in the way that it's absorbed, I'm not sure that the festival would be subsidizing the magazine in such a big way. So, anyway, I think there's a misconception about that, but I also don't think that there's any problem with it, even if it was subsidizing the magazine.
I agree with both those statements. This is Richard.
Yep.
We exist.
So,
we have a magazine. I think however that happens, no matter which one's pulling the boat, as it were, as long as somehow we manage to do both. So.
Yeah.
So is this is a report and discussion now. Will this be, it sounds like we'll need to be at a decision with this by our next meeting. Is that correct?
Well, it would be nice to have a magazine contract completely in hand at our next meeting. I don't know if that will actually happen. It may happen a couple days after our regular meeting. We may need to have an emergency meeting specifically for the magazine contract. And that's not a problem. We've done that before. But, yeah, within the next month, we really should make some sort of decision as to how we're going to go. That's part of what we're going to talk about when we talk to Alan by phone and see where can we cut some things, where can we shave some money off, with both sides giving and taking a little bit to make it more affordable for all of our members. So,
if we can drop our printing costs and not lose the magazine, I think it's good. Even though there's definitely some support to lose the magazine, I think just cold turkey would be, we'd really feel the scorn from that.
I agree.
That would be crazy. That would be absolutely crazy.
Agree.
It would be suicidal in my eyes. It really would.
And if we're all in agreement there, at least we have a general direction and consensus.
Exactly.
And what
well, yeah, basically,
about life-
right now, what we need to know is if we need to know if the board is supportive of the approach, and then we will fill in the details over the next 2 months.
And we don't really need a vote to do that. I don't believe, because we're not approving anything. It's just, is everyone kind of on board? Is everyone on board with trying to keep a print magazine going and or bringing in a digital idea?
This is Kevin. I am on board in support. I think if we can cut costs, if we can get the digital school involved, that'd be great. I like the tier system because, like Richard said, you allows people to put your money where your mouth is type thing. Okay, yes, you do want the magazine. Okay, then paying a $15 for 4 issues is completely reasonable. I think the youth will be responsive slowly but steadily to the online option. So I think it does serve lots of purposes. So right now I'm on board.
This is Tom. I agree with everything that Kevin just said. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, this is Ken. Me too.
This is Kevin Macbeth. I'm on board as well.
This is Richard. I'm on board as well.
Okay. Then it looks like that's the direction that we're going to try to pursue. Okay. Thank you, everyone. And it's really important that as we get more information, we all kind of chime in on it and have our say so that we can keep going forward with the project and instead of stagnating. Okay? Any other discussion on the magazine at this point?
Just a big thanks to Anthony for all the work you're doing, bud, and putting it together. And I know you, even though you're not in the States, it's still very helpful.
I'm trying. Thank you.
And thanks for making the meeting tonight from down in Brazil.
It would have been bad if I didn't.
Okay.
I have a question, and it's kind of related, but it's kind of not. Does anyone have a response for Scott Slesnik's post yesterday, or August 24th, today?
Refresh my memory.
He's basically saying that, before any major financial commitments are made, we need to have a better understanding and not rush into these decisions. I think the answer to that is we are not rushing into it, but we definitely don't provide people who are reading the forum with any indication of that.
Hmm.
And I'll take the blame on that because I haven't really been sharing a lot because a lot of it is kind of confidential, but is there some way we can craft a response to that that says something to that effect?
Hmm.
His post is in Board Plus, right?
Open discussion.
Open discussion.
Okay.
I just want him and other people reading to know that we really are putting a lot of thought into it, not rushing. He kind of framing it around Polly's charge of critique, but the fact of the matter is that what he's saying is fantastic, that he could help out, that someone would do the $900, but I haven't seen him rush forward to do that.
Well, he also seemed very concerned that we were pushing ahead with things without knowing where the fest came in. We did not have a final fest report as far as the P&L at that point. And as was stated tonight, and please correct me if I'm wrong, do we have a final P&L report? Is the report finalized?
Holly, I would consider it final. I don't think we're going to see any other bills come in.
Yeah, the only one that occurs to me is the insurance bill, because we've actually only paid half of that premium, and I should just do an accrual entry for the rest of it. So, but that's only about $300, so really doesn't have a huge impact in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
Okay, and speaking of which, did you get the checks that we know that were owed from the hotel and the theater? Because
well,
they actually owed us money.
I think probably they'll go to the P.O. box, so Jim will get them, and hopefully he'll let us know when he gets them.
Okay.
Okay, so we're still waiting on a couple things.
Yeah, we're still waiting on those checks to come, but those numbers are reflected in the P&L already.
Okay.
We did accrual entries for those.
Right, and and that's what I read in Scott's post was, hey, you don't even know how much the fest made yet, and you're going ahead and spending, you know, money. But we did have somewhat of an idea, and now tonight have an even more solid idea of here's what we made.
Yeah, it's going to be in the neighborhood of $34,000. It might, you know, give or take $300. But.
Right. So I don't know if we need to draft something tonight, but if you would like, I can draft up something and send it to the board for approval before posting. Would that work?
I'm down. I would like to help you with that, but you can do the first round if you'd like.
That's fine. That's fine. Okay. Anything from store? Sandy isn't here, but Kevin, anything on the store? I know you have the one idea for PayPal.
So the biggest report from the store is that we're moving to a new cart system soon, which should give us some more flexibility in the way things are displayed in the store, as well as allow for additional payment options, and we'll get to one of those when we get to the motions.
Okay.
You mean a new shopping cart program, Kevin?
That's correct.
Oh, wow.
So it's really close to ready to go. We just need to, David, Martin, and I need to schedule some time together, and I'll talk with them afterwards.
It's ZenCart, which is related to OS Commerce. I think it's sort of a...
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. So it'll run on PHP 5 in case our web host upgrades it.
That's our hope. That's the plan. That's the reason.
Okay.
Good.
And then one other thing. I'm going to get... Anytime there's store information, I'll report that to Don Lewis for the e-newsletter. So that should get some information on new products and what's going on in the store out to people more readily than you have to check the store, which no one does.
Great. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
So okay. That's it for me.
All right. I did not receive any membership information from Jim. Has anyone else heard from Jim Maxwell on memberships?
Just that he plans on staying on, right?
Right. Okay, volunteer coordinator, which Laura is leaving us, but for all board members and everyone here in attendance at this meeting, we are still, as of this point, looking for a fest director, an additional store distributor, a volunteer coordinator, a mentor program person, a Canadian representative, and a European rep. So if you know anyone who might be interested in filling those positions, have them contact the board. Video. Ken, is anything going on with the fest videos or with any other video projects?
At the moment, no. I've got the basic information of what the job entails from John. And honestly, I haven't had much time to look into it because from now until about mid-October with work and everything is just going to be a nightmare. And I'm not going to be able to put much effort into it until about mid-October. If I need to hand it off to someone else or whatever, that's fine. I can continue on trying to do my best.
Well, if you could do your best, that's fine. I have been in touch with Ivan.
Okay.
He is already in process of editing the fest videos. He contacted me for some names for the Juggling Seed show.
Okay.
But he said so far he felt he was a little bit ahead of schedule at this point. So.
All right.
One of the things that we often seem to drop the ball on is getting the artwork ready for the DVDs, for the discs and the case.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to try to ask Catherine to do that again this year?
I would love to ask Catherine, unless, Mike, you would prefer the artwork similar to the shirts, and then we could maybe contact that person.
It's already, done and paid for.
Oh, you're awesome.
I mean, it ought to match the shirt, the logo, you know, that we ought to be consistent in that way.
Yeah.
But the question is, you have to stick that onto a cover and add the appropriate text and stuff. The logo itself is maybe done, but we need the rest of the work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably a lot quicker and easier and probably cheaper to do. Just, you know, I can write to our artist, Alan, who has been very responsive in the past. I'm sure he'd be thrilled to have his artwork used on the DVD cover and label as well.
Yeah.
Good. Fantastic. So would we then use Catherine to do that layout with his artwork, or would he do the layout?
He'd probably be happy to do it, and it shouldn't be a big job. He already did, you know, T-shirt mock-ups and everything, so it seems to me like it would be pretty quick. I can write to him and see what he says.
Yes, please do. That would be great.
Okay.
Basically,
good catch,
this is a good time to get that rolling.
Yeah, very good catch.
And the text won't quite be ready until, you know, the video is. What's going to, the content, the sequence of things or whatever will perhaps change. But the main cover, you know, won't and stuff like that.
Yeah. Do you have specs or a template for what the finish size needs to be and all that stuff, Martin?
I mean, it's a
for
standard.
Box?
A standard.
Okay.
Jewel box.
DVD box, okay.
Yeah. Whatever we're packaging them in, DVD box. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else on video at this point?
No.
Okay. Kevin, anything? Yes.
Oh, I was just curious how the planting the juggling seed was going.
Right now I'm waiting to install I keep wanting to say FileMaker Pro, and that's not it. The editing program that Ivan uses.
Final Cut Pro.
Final Cut Pro, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to install that on my computer, and as soon as that's installed, it won't take long at all.
Okay.
Because it's very, very straightforward, but we did get all of that video footage from Jay, so it's in our possession already. Okay.
Okay. So as soon as that's done, I could add it to the store.
Yes. Yes. Okay, Kevin, anything on education?
Yeah, a little bit. For those of you who don't know, Kim and I have talked about, and it's been a longstanding idea with the IJA, is to have a school program where IJA members go in and teach juggling, and then their costs would be reimbursed, and ideally they would receive a payment or a fee. But my idea really right now is to do a test run, and it would be pretty easy for Brandy and I to work with schools locally where we are, so we could do it for we would certainly ask for our costs, but as far as how going to schools is going to get us more members, I think that needs some clarity. And so it's still in its youthful stages. But the other question was, Kim, we talked about the possibility of a grant, and I wanted to know if there was a specific grant writer we had in mind.
Well, I had spoken to the manager at my local branch of Bank of America. When I went down to change over all the signing cards, they are interested in being a
sponsor
for a pilot program.
That would be terrific.
Yeah, I've also contacted the Pennsylvania Department of Education, and they're helping me to find out about the Act 48 credit hours, that if we were, Kevin and I had also talked about doing a series of workshops at the fest during each festival during the summer. Those things would focus on you know, the basics of teaching juggling and, you know, maybe handling kids, the science
kind
of juggling.
Control.
Yeah, and they would actually become IJA certified instructors. If teachers were to take these, in my head I had it as 5 workshops throughout the week, that those teachers could then get their Act 48 continuing education credit hours as part of that. My ultimate idea that I discussed with Kevin with this whole thing is that anyone interested in participating in that 5 workshop system would also get their FBI clearances, and that would be paid for out of a grant. So it would not cost them anything, and that's usually a $60 to $75 cost to the person, to the individual. So it would give our members who are educators or possibly bring educators into our program, it would give them some incentive to participate. Or I should say non-educators, because educators would already have that.
Yeah, I think it'll be important in the long run to offer incentive for our members to go out and do it. If you know, absolutely we need to cover the costs, any costs involved with getting that certification and all the necessary safety checks and possibly beyond that. And a grant would be wonderful. As far as sponsorship, Kim, if I can help in any way in making that presentation, because, I mean, basically, you know, Brandy and I are in a position where we can go to our, at least our local schools and get the ball rolling with this.
That'd be awesome.
So I think a good next step is to maybe solidify that Bank of America sponsorship.
Yes, and like I said, what they need is a letter at this point.
Uh-huh.
So if you would like to draft a letter, that would be great.
Okay.
And I can get you the contact information as to where to send it.
Excellent. And I'd probably send it to you first.
Okay.
So you could look it over and see, and might be filling any.
That'd be fine.
But that's all for now. If anyone has anything to chime in about getting our members teaching juggling in schools, I'd love to hear it.
Quick question about IJA certification.
Yes.
Would that open us up to potential liability if an IJA certified teacher goes and does something at a school?
Good question. I don't know the answer to
that. I'm just thinking in terms of other performers that I've seen come through schools, other instructors, there would probably have to be something written that they would sign before entering this workshop program that would say that they would provide their own insurance. Most schools are going to ask for insurance, proof of insurance anyway. I don't know what your experience is with that, Kevin, but I know here in Pennsylvania they always ask for proof of insurance before they let someone come in.
Right. I'm just concerned because that would cover the performer's liability if someone were to sue the performer, but if someone were to come and sue the IJA, even if it was completely baseless, we'd still have to cover our own defense costs. So, I don't know. It's just something to think about.
Right.
You might need to,
That's something we can look into. Personally, right now, I'm thinking that we would be fine because it's like the state of Pennsylvania certifying me. I have a Pennsylvania certificate. But if I do something wrong in my classroom where a parent comes after me, they're not also suing the state of Pennsylvania for certifying me. But I'll check. Kevin and I can check
into
that.
I can run up my lawyer.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Great.
Okay, thank you. Tom, anything on marketing and promotions?
There are a couple of things that I do want to talk about. I don't know how many of you guys have taken a look. I'm I'm assuming that all of you guys have, but the report that I sent out about a month ago,
it was awesome.
That was.
It was
awesome. I'd like to get started on some of this stuff, but I don't really know. I mean, I guess I need to talk to you guys about where to start. One of the big things that the big issue with this is that we need to basically appeal to two different groups of people. We need to appeal to current members and basically get them more reasons to stay and retain their membership and keep on giving us their membership fees, as well as try and get, you know, non-members interested enough to join. And part of that is that they're not aware, but I think another part of that, you know, is obviously that we don't have benefits that they are currently interested in. And one of the, I guess, a large, pretty glaringly obvious benefit that we could offer people, to me, is that we could try and work out discounts at different prop vendors. And I know that there's definitely a limited pool of vendors out there, I guess, in the juggling world. But we might be able to entice them if we figure out some sort of reciprocal agreement. And I was wondering on that front, if a vendor is indeed interested in doing this, like what we could offer them, if we could offer them like just on the IJ website, you know, saying, hey, you know, we're being sponsored with, or we have an agreement with these people, and just like have a link to their website, or if we could somehow offer them discounted or even free ad space in the magazine itself. I don't really know what the ad revenue is like in the magazine.
Well, I don't know if offering them free ad space in the magazine would work as far as the print magazine.
Yeah.
Because that ad revenue hopefully will all be going down
exactly.
If he agrees to that. Putting some sort of information on our website, I don't think that would be asking too much. Anthony, you had said there's added possibilities for ads in the digital copy. Is that correct?
I mean, the advertising on digital copy would be completely separate from the print copy.
Okay, so it would be possible to put ads on the digital copy that would not appear on the print copy.
Absolutely.
Okay.
They don't even have to be journal.
Okay. So if we go in that direction, then yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because before I start, you know, calling up or emailing vendors and saying, hey, you know, I'm researching this idea, I wanted to know what you guys thought would be a reasonable direction that we could work this out. Because, I mean, just saying, you know, hey, we're the IJ, you know who we are, and we want you guys to give us something for free, you know, I don't think that there are going to be very many people receptive to that.
Exactly.
I wanted to figure out or at least get some idea of what we could actually offer them before I even said anything to anybody.
Yeah.
And I know that if we could give them some, like, a discounted ad space in a print magazine, especially, like, in print, that would, I'm sure more people would be thrilled about that than just, you know, a digital copy, because, you know, even if the digital is going to go to everybody in the print, won't necessarily under a new tiered system should that happen. The print, I guess, the fact that it's something physical that you can hold in your hand, that speaks louder to a lot of people, at least in terms of, you know, my understanding of human behavior. So.
Just a couple ideas. This is Kevin. Vendors who generally or usually come to the festival may get a discount and or free booth space.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
You could have things like individual prop competitions sponsored by Dubay, like sponsorship advertising during the fest, and I really like the discount ad space as well.
Yeah, so I don't know what you guys would think, or, like, should I just give them a list of things and ask what they're interested in, see if, you know, I can just throw back to you guys and find out what we can actually offer, or how you want me to go about this, because, you know, I'm not really sure what we're working with here, so.
I kind of like the idea of contacting at least a few vendors and saying, hey, here's an idea we're thinking of doing. What would you do in return for this?
Yeah.
I like kind of fielding it out there first, because we'll have to put it to a motion and a vote to do that. So I don't know what does anyone else think about that?
I think it's great. Any incentive for more members,
yeah.
And that'd be incentive enough for me. I mean, cheaper prop.
Okay.
Yeah. I say float it by vendors. I mean, talk with them.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try and get that done sometime in the next week. I'm still kind of driving around the country right now. yeah, it's been a crazy month for me. Yeah, so I will do that.
Okay.
I've got a couple of other things. I'm reading the report. At least I'm going by point on the report
yeah.
that I sent out earlier.
Actually, a couple of the things, I'm looking at your scouts at the IJA festival. Cool. And actually, Richard, I remember you talking about that before the Lexington Fest, pulling in professionals and agents and things like that to provide on-site auditions and, you know, performance opportunities for our members. And I had thought that you might be a good person to try and bring some of that stuff in.
I actually sent an email to CERC, my contact there, and they came to Lexington, but I think it should be coming every year.
Right.
And there's other agents, too, in Vegas and places. I do think that's something that could be an incentive. I posted late today, but I do think the championships are one of the things that separates us from regular regional festivals. And the more we can make that a prestigious event, even more than it already is, it is. But if we can increase our award monies and just why people would commit to a year's work to get ready for this competition, I think that benefits everybody and makes the IJA very attractive to people, too. So
okay.
I am going to pursue this contacting those types of agencies, and I'll give you a report on that next month.
Great. So that's another one we've got on your list that we're working on.
Yeah, excellent.
And
I guess something else. Oh, sorry, keep going.
Oh, I was going to say, if we can book them early enough so we can actually say there's going
yeah.
to be talent scouts here, then
right.
that would provide additional incentive for people to have good acts for the show.
Right.
Yeah, I agree entirely. Yeah. Okay, so I guess while we're still talking about stuff that we can do at the festival to make it more attractive, I guess it's really no secret that there are at least several WGF members who don't come to IJA events. And I really think this is an interesting idea. I don't know how feasible it would be because I haven't talked to Jason at all because, again, I'm not entirely sure where I stand, you know, like what I'm allowed to say to people. But I'd be really interested in researching the idea of getting some sort of a WGF style event at the IJA. I know that Jason in the past has, like at his training camps that he has in Vegas in December, they have sort of where you're allowed to bring in, you know, like you bring in and you do your routine. It's not officially scored or anything, but they score it through the rubric, and they just tell you, like, hey, you know, if you come back to our festival or our conference or whatever they call it, the actual competitions later, this is what your running of this routine would score in that competition. And I feel like, you know, we're going to be near Vegas. You know, it'd be minimal for Jason, I think, to try and get that done. And if we could just tack it, you know, somewhere in the middle or just somewhere in the festival, that could appeal pretty greatly to a lot of younger jugglers that are more interested in the WGF than the IJA, you know, whether that being an actual experience with the IJA or their perceived,
yeah.
you know, idea of what the IJA is. And I think that with the younger crowd, a lot of people, a lot of younger jugglers, you know, they see the WGF and then they see the IJA and they say, oh, you know, WGF is this, then IJA, I'm just going to write them off entirely. I'm never going to go to one of their events or, you know, make an effort to go do that. You know,
Jason has a problem with the extreme juggling competition.
I was just
yeah.
thinking that.
It extends to a pretty big problem. And at the same time, you know, the word is that WJF is suffering. So if we can hit him up on that angle, like, okay, Jason, you need us and we need you.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that would strike a chord. But somehow we'd have to make peace between extreme juggling and the WJF.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. But, I don't know, I'd be curious just to talk to Jason and see what he thinks about that. Because, I mean, we will be in the same area, and, you know, it's obvious that we all need each other's help, and it would be I think this would be a pretty major step in sort of bridging the gap in between our two organizations. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I like the idea because anything that kind of brings more jugglers together, I'm all in favor of. I do think we have to kind of be careful with how we approach this one if we're going to do it.
Yes.
Because I don't want to step on Jack Calvin's feet, and I don't want to upset Jason, and I don't want our people to get upset either. I'd like to see it meld very, very nicely, so we may need to take some time on that one and think it through and make sure our approach is right, and also whoever is Fest Director, have them greatly involved as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know if somebody other than me would be better to write up at least a proposal email or just sort of a first contact thing. I've talked to Jason a couple of times, but, you know, we're by no means, you know, like buddy-buddy or anything, so.
I've only talked to him in passing at the IJA. That's it.
Okay.
Once we know who Fest Director is.
Yeah.
It would probably be best come, at least initially, from the Fest Director, unless any of us were chummy with Jason.
And the Fest Director and you could work together, Tom, on that, so.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
All right, moving on. so I've got a lot of stuff in front of me right now. I guess a benefit that we could potentially offer to a new member, which I think would be pretty cool, would be if you're a first-year member, like this is your first time, not after, you know, an absence, not after, you know, not a renewal, not any of that stuff, if we offered a first-year discount to attend the festival to somebody. Because I feel like some people, you know, they might be put off by the, I guess, the sticker price of everything. And if we offered them 10 or 15% off or something, and this is money that we wouldn't be getting otherwise, you know, if they didn't get this off, they probably wouldn't even come, so...
10 or 15% off what?
Off of the sticker price of the festival, whether that's like bare bones, you know, like, you know, you don't get the T-shirt, you don't get the DVD, or if it would be the full convention package or what. I don't know how this would work into any of the operating budgets or anything, because I've got no idea how many people this would actually appeal to. But even if we were able to bring in, you know, three or four first-year jugglers, first-year members of the IJA, to the festival that wouldn't, I guess, ordinarily even consider coming to it, that would be more money in our pockets than these people would potentially be coming years afterwards just because they get to see it, you know.
But you would also lose the 10 or 15% of the people who would have come anyway. It's not just for money. You have to allow for the people who would have come for their first time having just joined IJ and now are getting a 10 or 15%. Personally, we've lowered the price. We've raised the price over the years. We cut it in half after Reno in 2004. We cut it almost in half, and the low prices don't seem to affect membership. Don't seem to affect attendance very much. The people who want to come, and you know, if we raise it $10 or lower it $10, it doesn't seem to cause, you know, any change. Now, you know, we obviously can't have done a double blind test on this, but from what we've seen, it's not clear that, you know. When we drastically lowered the rate in 2004, we didn't drastically get a lot more members showing up.
Okay.
I do have to agree with Martin on that one, because even this year, the Fest price went up a little bit, but, you know, or the year before, and we really didn't see a drastic change in numbers either way.
Okay. Well, I guess one thing that I would like to add to this is that this would be something that would be going in tandem with... I've been doing a bit of research about putting displays up in, like, toy stores and places that sell, you know, like, low-end juggling props. And if we're, you know, if we're appealing to that market, whether or not they actually take us up on it, it would be another bullet point on a list of benefits to members. Like, in your first year, you would be allowed to come at a slightly discounted rate. And even if that bullet point, like, that bullet point might drive them to go ahead and spend, you know, the $35 on a membership, but not necessarily drive them to go to the festival. So whether or not it's a benefit they would actually take us up on, it could be something that would be appealing to them just in terms of what they get for spending the money on a membership package, I guess.
I agree.
I agree 100%. Human nature says if people think they're going to get more, they're going to be more willing to pay.
Yeah. I guess that brings me to, I guess on the list I've got it written down as affiliate store program, but I guess we could call that whatever we want to. It would be this is something that there's some talk about a festival kit that we could put together, which is like, you know, sending out to a festival with, you know, membership, application forms or whatever. Yeah, so I think that the display that we could make for potential stores, or, you know, like toy stores that have juggling props or some sort of a fringe appeal, like a novelty appeal, you know, like a magic store or, you know, a game store that happens to have, you know, juggling balls like off in a corner or something. If we could put these displays in there, you know, at the moment, the benefits that we could put on a Dolz's list of, you know, join the IGA, you get, you know, this, this, and this. Right now it says you can go to the festival and you get, you know, the magazine. And even if it says, you know, there's a festival, there's a magazine, if we wind up working out something with, you know, say, Sport Juggling Co., you know, if you buy 7 Sport Co. balls, you get 10% off your whole order. You know, that's totally fantasy. There's no backing to that. And also, you know, in your first year, you could go something else. I think that would be, more people would pick up the thing and at least consider, you know, filling it out and sending it in. And that's a pretty big, I guess, prong of what I'm trying to do here. Because, like, after we get more benefits, I want to start increasing visibility to the juggling-friendly, not currently member public. And along with that affiliate store thing, I would be really interested in getting some back issues of Juggle Magazine and just, you know, putting them in the store so they actually get they can hold it, they can heft it, they can see the quality of the magazine that it is that, you know, we have produced in the past and what they would be getting, fingers crossed, in the future.
That, Tom, could actually be a contract issue
really?
With Juggle, only because at least under the last contract, and I think it's also in this present contract, selling the magazine in regular stores is not an option.
This wouldn't be for sale. It would just be, you know, store copy, you know, for display only.
Okay.
Yeah, just, you know, so they could see what they would wind up getting a subscription to should they subscribe. Because just saying magazine, you know, that could be anything.
Right, okay.
Yeah, just to clarify that point. Yeah. So I guess I was wondering, right now I'm moving to Boulder in the next couple of weeks. And one of my roommates is actually the assistant manager. She's a juggler. She's an assistant manager of a toy store. And I was planning on... you know, I've talked to her briefly about this, but using that as sort of a testing ground for this, because they do sell, you know, the Higgins Brothers Cirque du Soleil licensed, you know, juggling apparatus. So I was hoping that I could at least try and get that started and just see what interest there is in DJ after a display like that is set up, because it's a pretty small number of employees there, so we could, you know, overhear what people are saying there.
Okay, well, for something like that, Martin, do you feel we need a motion to do that, or can we just go ahead as a test?
A motion to do exactly what?
To allow a magazine to be put on display at do I have this right, Tom? You want to put a magazine on display in a local toy store to see what reaction is to it?
I don't see how that can possibly require a motion. If I have a copy of my magazine and I want to give it to a toy store to show,
right.
The IJ has no power to stop me.
Okay.
So yeah. I mean, he's doing it to
then
support
for
me.
It.
Yep.
Great. I just wanted to double check. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, right.
What happened?
And I guess on that line, I don't know if... are the, like a membership form and that sort of thing, are those available on the website that I could just print off, you know, like 5 or 10 of them and, you know, stick them there? And
yes, they are.
They are? Okay, right on. Cool, I will definitely go ahead with that.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Tom,
I guess,
Kevin, quick note
yep.
on promotions. I was speaking with Taylor Glenn
2 days ago, and she did the YouTube project last year and won, and is willing to volunteer and expand on that. This year, I think it would be good, and I'd be happy to be a liaison, but for you two to be in communication about anything. She has the password for the YouTube channel and the time and the willingness to help out, and so I think anything
you can
do with her would be great.
Yeah, I did have a comment, I guess, again, you know, about YouTube stuff, because what people see online, you know, they search juggling, and they see all of these, you know, just people posting tutorials, posting videos, posting whatever, on YouTube and everywhere else. We don't have any tutorials or anything that I know of on the YouTube account or, like, video tutorials online. And I was thinking that, you know, we definitely have people out there that would be, at least I'm assuming, would be willing to film a tutorial of, you know, exceptional quality and be able to put that on our YouTube account for us, or, you know, send it to us so we could put it on ourselves.
Absolutely. That was already mentioned as one of the top things that we would want to get on the YouTube channel, and that is quality tutorials from big names.
Okay. I don't know if we'd be able to write to people that already have a really good tutorial online, like on YouTube, and ask permission to rehost it and re-upload it with an IJA logo on our YouTube channel. I don't know, like, what you guys would think about that.
Certain people, I'd say absolutely. Others, you know, it'd be hard to guess if they'd be willing to. But I think starting with people that are definitely IJA friendly.
Yeah, exactly. So, I guess all this just comes back to improving our visible face to the public, because, you know, we don't have a lot of visibility right now. That, you know, if somebody hasn't heard of WJF, hasn't heard of IJA, they go online, they see juggling, and they just see people juggling. They don't see a single mention of the IJA. And if they discover a YouTube channel that has, you know, 5 or 10 really quality tutorials, you know, provided that we get 5 or 10 really quality ones up there, you know, they will see IJA video, they'll see a link to the IJA homepage, and they'll just associate the name IJA with the sort of quality instruction that they have received, and it's, you know, relatively low cost to us. So,
virtually none.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
So I think that would be something very smart to pursue.
Good.
Anything else on this?
I can't really see much else that I've taken notes on recently. So.
Well, that's okay, because there's a big chunk of stuff that we've gone that you've gone over in here. And we've got a lot to start on already. So
yeah, for sure.
Maybe we can start up with some of the rest of it at the next meeting, because we still have to get on to our motions for the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, wonderful job, though, Tom. Wonderful. Moving on to the motions, I'd actually like to take these just a bit out of order. I'd like to handle the tiered membership last and move on to the next one, the motion to approve a policy that the present board will vote on and approve a 2010 CEST budget prior to the end of the 2009 calendar year. Do I have someone to make that motion?
I'll make that motion. This is Kevin Macbeth.
Someone to second?
I second it. This is Richard.
Okay. Discussion. Just as a precursor, in past years, the board has never formally approved or adopted the FEST budget. It's been presented, but we never necessarily took a vote and said, this is the FEST budget that we need to stay within. Holly has suggested that we do this, and it is our fiduciary responsibility to watch how the money is spent. So I feel it's something we need to do. Any other thoughts?
Will there be any kind of provision, or is it not likely or possible that something will come up, something will arise? I mean,
Are these heavy guidelines? Are there penalties for not following it? I guess those are just a few questions.
Good questions, too. Holly, are you still here?
Yeah, let me answer that in two ways. One is most budgets that I've ever prepared have a sort of all other line. You know, there's a slush line because you know that things are going to come up. I mean, there's just no way, especially 6 or 8 months before the event, that you can know everything that's going to happen. So there is a provision for that in the budget. Also, as far as whether there are penalties for not adhering to the budget, I mean, it's up to the board how that's handled, but I would say no. But the reason for having a budget is so that, whoever is spending the money is accountable to the board. And if something comes up and it's very obvious that their spending is going to exceed the budget, they have to report to the board and they have to say, hey, I need approval for an extra $4,000 or whatever. It's just so that the board is involved in that process a little bit more than it has been.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Kim, if I could add, I would add to this an operating budget, not just a festival budget.
Oh, okay.
Really need both.
Kevin,
can I move to amend?
You may move to amend. Yes.
Okay. Move to amend the motion to include a 2010 operating budget, also approved by the end of the 2009 calendar year.
And Richard, were you the second on that?
Yeah, I'll second that, yes.
Okay.
And I could say something. If we had an approved festival budget, I would be more open, how do I say this right, to some people, some potential fest directors, if I knew that we had given them a budget and also that we had some input into additional things they might come up with.
Right.
Yeah, you've then got to have a fest director, though, who's willing to work with that.
Well, and that might be enough that that person would say, I don't want to be the fest director. Well, that could serve us all well right there.
Yeah, right.
But at the same time, if they would agree to that, I would be open to some people who have talked about this in the past. But...
any further discussion on this motion? All right. If not, we'll vote the motion to approve the policy that the present board will vote on and approve a 2010 fest budget and a 2010 operating budget prior to the end of the 2009 calendar year. Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes by unanimous consent. Next motion on the agenda is to retain Holly Greeley as IJA bookkeeper for 2009-2010. Do we have someone to make the motion?
I'll make that motion, Kevin. I move to retain Holly Greeley as IJA bookkeeper for the 2009-2010 calendar fiscal year.
And a second?
I'll second it again.
And discussion?
This is Holly. I'll just clarify that the term of the contract, my current contract expires October 31st, so this would be for November through October 2010.
Thank you for that, Holly. And Kevin, is that amendment okay?
That amendment is okay, yes.
Okay. And the person who seconded?
Yeah,
yours?
That's fine.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, we'll go to vote. Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? If not, the motion to retain Holly for another year is approved.
Hooray.
Yay.
Welcome back, Holly.
You're stuck with me now.
Okay, motion to approve the 2010 fest director, and information was sent to the board in a separate email since this is a personnel matter. Someone to make that motion, please.
quick question. We're making the motion to then move on to discussion to who it is?
Yeah, you have to have a motion and a second in order to discuss.
Gotcha. I move to approve the 2010 Fest Director, Kevin X.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. And discussion on this.
Who is that that seconded?
Kevin McBeth.
Thank you.
As I had sent out to everyone, I did have a rather lengthy discussion with Dan Holzman. And I had also expressed some of my feelings in there. Dan did say that he would want to be compensated. He was looking for a percentage of whatever profit is made. However, he also did say that if the fest does not make a profit, he would not expect compensation. He also expects to be in charge of Cascade of Stars and the championships and the fest and the workshops, but then have people working under him for those positions. To me, that's a lot to expect of one person. And also, mention was brought up, and I do not recall where, so I apologize for that. I didn't look it up before the meeting, that taking a percentage of profit may not be legal. And that is something I have not been able to check into at this point.
Well, that's a big thing. Let's devil's advocate. Assuming it was illegal, is there a way for him to be reimbursed the percentage in question without? That's concerning if it might be illegal.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I was told that apparently it's been
it's the
done.
Same as grant, the same as grant writing. You're not allowed legally to take a percentage of the grant, but people get around that by just paying people magically the same amount.
Right. That grant writers are often paid, even though they're not from nonprofit. They often get a percentage of the grant, even though they're not allowed to be paid from it per se. So it would seem that there are legal ways to do it.
Yeah. So just, but I think the question is larger than that. Should the fest director be paid at all? I don't know. I'm just saying that's the large question, of course.
Personally, I see that happening in the future of the IJA, just because it is such a huge job. However, I'm not sure that we're in a position for Sparks to offer that. Now, I did have an interesting phone conversation with an IJA member earlier this evening, and this was the topic, and I said, in your opinion, because it was an older IJA member, a life member, and I said, in your opinion, is it better to have somebody in there who may not be our ideal choice, or to hang on until we see if we can get somebody and then possibly be stuck? Dan has done some wonderful things for the IJA, but I'll be honest, I do have some concerns as Fest Director.
I have concerns that some of the other names, at least, I mean, I don't know if there's any names on the table that haven't been emailed or put on the forums, that given the location and where it's happening, that the usual, so to speak, is not going to be enough, and we're going to see really low numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strong fear of mine, and at present, and this is Kevin Axel, I support Dan as Fest Director after having talked with him and what he's done, and just getting the, I guess, West Coast, for lack of a better word, the West Coast vibe, I think that he is going to bring us, as far as the names on the table right now, the most participants. But you did bring up a lot of good points about his, you know, his experience with books and, you know, the forms. I thought all the questions you asked him were really good, Kim. So there's got to be, would have to be a way to assure that those logistics are covered well.
Well, and this member that I spoke to earlier tonight, this, the final suggestion that he made, and it made total sense to me after I heard it, was to actually negotiate a contract with, you know, here's what you need to do. Write in it and have clearly defined parameters for him to work within. And if that could be hammered... Excuse me?
I'm sorry. I think that he would be receptive to that if we laid down a very specific contract, but this needs to be done. We have to see this,
mm-hmm.
I think.
If we could do that, if the rest of the board would want to do something like that where we set out parameters that must be maintained, then I could live with this decision. We have been very lucky in the past. Mike was awesome. John put on a great fest. Sandy Brown's put on great fest. We've had some incredible people, and we've been very lucky. Sparks has me worried, and I don't want to also have to worry that the person in charge is just going to take full rein and not report. And I know he'll put on a quality shows and bring in quality people. That's not my concern at all. It's just I need to make sure that person is going to stay within the parameters given to him by the board.
Right.
Yeah, this is Richard. I'm friends with Dan. I love Dan. I'd rather pay Dan to produce the shows than at least off the top making him the director. I think he's a great show producer, incredible show producer.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he'll do that again unless he's paid.
I think the percentage motivation, you know, given the amount of free time he has, I think he's going to give it his all. I mean, that's my impression from talking with him on the phone and things like that, is that he's, and especially anyone who's worked with him backstage, he can be kind of a diva and want it his way, and there's going to be some ruffles.
Well, that's
sure.
To be expected. He's a performer, you know.
Right.
Performers
right,
all have little quirks, but
I do absolutely believe that he's going to play full out and do everything he possibly can to bring some numbers in. I mean, as we all know, West Coast festivals are low
mm-hmm.
in attendance in the past, and we need to not let that happen. We need the numbers. So I'd be interested in what some of the other candidates plan to change or do differently.
Yeah, actually, every other person I have spoken to has declined. Respectfully declined, but they've declined. I have contacted Jeff Peden. I know he's East Coast. However, I also know he's retired and puts on a wonderful fest. He took a couple days to think about it and has declined. David Gross, I spoke with him by phone, and after a weekend of thought, he said he just can't dedicate the time at this point. Go ahead.
I will say that's one thing that is attractive about Dan. He has the time. And I know Mike did a great job, and not just because he had the time, but I do think having the time is very attractive. So that does speak for Dan. That's a positive for Dan, no doubt about it.
I actually have a minor concern to bring up. So I guess one of the concerns is that he's difficult to work with sometimes.
That's part of the diva thing, yeah.
And it seems like the Sparks Festival might be one with lots of touchy negotiation. particularly with like union houses and all that stuff. So I'm a little bit concerned about having him in a negotiating role.
With a good team, I think, I mean, he can't be serious about wanting to do all of those things, the championships, the Cascade of Stars, the whole fest, all by himself. I think he just wants the kind of the big honcho say in it. Surely he has to have, you know, real plans for, like, a team.
Right. He did say that he wanted to be Cascade of Stars director, but with someone else working under him actually at the theater, since he would not be able to be at the theater. Same for the championship. So it did say, seem like he was saying, I want control and I want my people in there doing what I would do if I were in their shoes. And I don't have too much of an issue with that, if that's the way it actually comes off. He did admit that as far as advertising or computer skills, he is extremely limited, but that his wife is a graphic artist and his partner, his performance partner,
Theory,
knows computers very, very well. So it seemed like he had some sort of support team in place.
This is Richard again. In a way, that's the description of a fest director. You know, they have the overall say, and they have a team of people. So in a way, that description is not so far outside of what we already have in place. My concerns are just more conversations, you know. He would like to change the championships, they think. Well, I think we've done very well in the last 2 years to change the championships positively. So my only real question is, how many things does he really want to change, and I want to know what that means exactly.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's talked about having, you know, he wants to open this up to every kind of manipulative art there is, which sounds great. But he's talking about actually having their championships during our IJA fest, and I just don't know how you can do that from a time frame. I don't understand. You know, having bullwhip championships and top spinning championships, and just every kind of manipulative art there is.
Right.
I just don't know how that would all fit, and I don't know what that has to do with the IJA per se.
He did speak about the championships being almost segregated, where different types of manipulation would compete against one another. Not necessarily just all Diablo at one spot, but, you know, it would be a combination of those similar skills.
We've come really far with the championships. With what I think what Chuck did was excellent, and even though it's not perfect, it's a huge step in the right direction. And I wouldn't want to see Dan try to dismantle the championships. I mean,
exactly.
Maybe a few small modifications, but It's going in the right direction. The new system is great.
It is great.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry, I was just saying the new systems are great, and I'd also hate to see that dismantled in any real way. I think the question about Diablos is a legitimate question, and somewhere down the line that probably will need to be addressed, I believe. But I'd just like to know, you know, how he would address that and what that would really mean.
Okay, so from what I'm hearing of those on the board chiming in at this point is that you would be fine with Dan as fest director if he agrees to parameters given to him, contracted to him by the board?
Basically, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, basically, I could sign off on that, too. My only big fear, Kim, and again, I'm friends with Dan, is somehow something went wrong if he played the big diva card, we might not have a fest director. I mean, I don't think he's a professional. I don't think that's what he would do. You know, but I'm sorry. I guess I would say if we gave him parameters, I think Dan would deliver a great product. I know he would deliver great shows. And get great performers, which would draw members to come to Sparks, as much as anything else will draw members to come to Sparks.
Okay,
so,
we actually have him sign a contract that includes those parameters?
Well, if we're going to offer, now that, you know, if we're going to offer a percentage, then I do believe a contract is in place to do. Yeah, absolutely. This is the first time we're going to offer a percentage to anybody. So, yeah, I do think there should be a contract. And that would obviously mean parameters.
Yeah, okay. For him and for us.
Okay. So then we would need to amend this motion if you want to vote on it tonight. The other option is to table it. So, Kevin Macbeth, any thoughts from you on this topic? Kevin, still there?
Must have lost him.
Maybe
we
lost
him. Sorry, I was muted.
It's okay.
I would lean towards tabling the motion and get a feel for what sort of contract we could put together, as well as seeing if there are any other options, and then vote on it at the next meeting.
I would agree with that. Dan really wanted to know after this meeting whether he was hired or not, but I think if I explain to him that we're looking at the possibility of percentage and you know, coming up with a contract for him, that he might be open to that and holding off for a few more weeks.
Yeah, I think if you present him, if you present it to Dan along the lines of, we're ready to do this with you, but before we took our final vote, we wanted a contract for everyone, for you, for us. We
right.
just wanted the contract in place. But if we give him the if we tell him something that sounds like, I don't know, I
right.
think he might jump away, and we could
right.
be then without a fest director. So I think it's important to, if we do table this, to communicate with Dan that, you know, we're moving that direction.
Kevin, yeah, I agree with you, Kevin. All we have to tell him is, this is the first time we're doing a percentage, and we've all agreed that that would entail a contract. And
right.
it's not just because it's Dan. It's just that I think whoever this would be, if we're going to give a percentage, I think then we have to have a contract. So it's just, you know, we don't have to say because it's you, Dan, we want a contract. We can say because we're going to offer this percentage, we want
yeah.
a contract.
Yeah.
What if you made a motion, something to the effect of appointing Dan as the festival director on a pro temp basis, to be hinged to be dependent upon an agreeable contract signed, you know, let's say in the next 2 weeks, and you know you can decide what you need to be in that, what restrictions, what requirements, that sort of thing.
That sounds good. Is that good with everyone?
The only thing that would concern me with appointing him fest director pro tem is, without parameters in place, he would be able to go ahead and start plans and preparations, and that may not be within some of the guidelines that we have in the contract.
Hmm.
Then you could instead not appoint him, but indicate that you appoint some committee of, you know, however many, one or two, three people to negotiate a contract with him to make him festival director.
There we go.
Indicating that you want to work with him on it, and not that we're just putting it off and you're putting it off and waiting for something better to come along.
Okay.
I like that last suggestion, Martin. Motion for a committee to create the contract and negotiate the contract with Dan.
And then just make sure you appoint a committee chair at this meeting to do that, to be responsible for that, and you can have as many people as you want involved.
Okay, so Kevin, are you making that motion?
Yes, I would.
I guess we would just amend the present motion.
All right, I would like to amend then the present motion to create a committee to negotiate the festival director contract with Dan Holzman.
To be clear, you're wiping out the original text of the motion. right? You're replacing it entirely with this new text.
Yeah, I believe that is the case, yeah.
I'll second that if you're waiting for a second.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Who is that seconded?
It's Richard Kinnison.
Thank you. And Kim, can I just suggest that you get really good legal advice on the contract, because the downside of the percentage, if it is illegal, is that the IJA loses its nonprofit status. And
right.
It wouldn't be worth it.
In your opinion, Holly, do we need a special lawyer to look at that, or will just a general lawyer be able to give information on that?
I have no idea. I mean, I would consult with an attorney who has experience with nonprofits, I think.
Yep,
okay.
Exactly.
There is.
I mean, you could probably, you know, put in a fixed payment amount. Even if you can't do a percentage, you could put in a fixed payment amount, and perhaps that could be hinging upon a certain amount of profit. But again, I don't know what the rules are in those regards.
Okay.
We're not planning to pay him so much that it's going to affect the IJA's finances, that it's going to be a small percentage if you're talking about a percentage.
I know... I was not thinking a huge amount. Dan did not mention actual figures to me in our conversation. He just said he would like a percentage. So we'll have to discuss that further. I mean, as we're negotiating this contract, as we're coming up with the parameters and all, it may end up that he decides to decline. I hope that's not the case, but yet that is a possibility. But in the meantime, I will contact the company in Philadelphia that John Satriano has used before. They are nonprofit lawyers, and they provide free legal advice to nonprofits, to 501c3s. So I will contact them tomorrow during my lunch hour.
Kim, everybody, I would like to nominate Kim to be the chair of the committee that negotiates with Dan.
Is that okay with you, Kim?
I accept. Thank you, Richard.
I would recommend that the chair not be the chair of this committee.
Okay. Well, how about this? I nominate Richard to be the chair of this committee.
Well, I accept that I want everybody to be on that committee, so there you go.
Mike, are you still online?
Yeah.
Online? Would you be interested
yes,
in being involved? Would you be interested in being involved in this committee? Because I know you have good judgment in this area.
Yes.
I'd rather not be on the committee, but I'd be happy to advise.
Okay.
Okay.
Be wonderful.
Richard, I'm definitely good friends with Dan and in contact with him regularly, so I can certainly help you as chair and you know, serve as a go-between if there's any sensitive stuff that needs to be convinced.
Yeah, I know. I talk to Dan on a regular basis myself, and the real crux of all this is just what parameters we do want to put in place. I mean, in a way, Dan's not part of that equation in a way. We just want to make sure.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, talking to him about it won't be a problem. We just want to make sure we know what it is we want to control.
Well, I'll be on the committee.
That's great.
Fantastic.
Hey, Richard. This is Kevin Macbeth. I, too, would like to serve on the committee.
Great. I mean, I haven't been voted as the chair, but that's great. I think we should all be on the committee ultimately. At the end, we will all be anyway. But
well, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. So first we have to approve the motion to create the committee, which has already been made and seconded, and it seems like discussion of that part is over. So let's take a vote on the motion to create a committee to put together a contract for the 2010 Fest director, and I have named Dan Holzman in that. Anyone opposed? Anyone abstain? If not, The motion carries. Motion's approved. Now we would need the motion to actually put the people on the committee. Motion to approve the committee for the 2010 FEDS director. Chair Richard Kennison, committee members Kevin McBeth and Kevin Axtell. Tom, since you're the only one not on yet, would you like to make the motion?
Yeah, I would. I guess I'd make a motion to form the committee with Richard Kennison and the two Kevins, Kevin McBeth and Kevin Axtell.
And we need a second from anyone.
I'll second it. Ken, Sarah.
Okay. Okay. Any further discussion on that committee?
Just that, we'll definitely be looking for input for all of the stipulations and wordings of the contract, I'm sure.
And I'll be in touch with those nonprofit lawyers and get you guys in touch with them. Okay. If there's no other discussion, anyone opposed? Anyone abstain? If not, motion carries.
Can I say one thing about that?
Sure.
This is Richard. I think there's a lot to leverage from Dan's name, to tell you the truth, as a teacher, once we have the contract in place. I think it's a positive thing, ultimately. We can leverage the success of his shows in the past. And that could be an attraction for people to come. So I think it's a good thing ultimately, as long as we have parameters.
Okay. Well, good luck, gentlemen. We'll be waiting to hear back from you. Martin, I need your advice on this, because I could not recall. When someone resigns from a volunteer position, do we need to make the motion to accept their resignation?
No, I mean, the point of that would be simply to honor their service or something like that. But officially, the officials' terms of office expire after 1 year, at the festival, and you've reappointed some people as pro tem, and if you appoint somebody else as the official, official. As the long-term official, then the resignation is sort of almost implicit.
Okay.
You can just make a note that so-and-so and so-and-so have resigned as an announcement, as it were.
Okay.
We don't operate horribly formally in that regard, but the board does have to make appointments each year.
Okay.
Of each
so we
position.
Can, we can, the motion hasn't been made for the resignation of to accept the resignation of Todd or Will and Rhonda, so we can just delete those from the agenda. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, you could simply note in discussion of the actual motion to appoint the new people that those people have resigned.
Okay. And what I did was
at the same time thanking them for their service to the IDA.
Okay. And what I've done, Brandy, is I put Mike's volunteer position into the rest of the list. So the next motion that we actually have in front of us is the motion to approve the following volunteers in the volunteer positions listed next to their name. We have Sandy Brown, Greg Phillips, David Landown, and I'm not going to read through the entire list because I'm assuming the board has read that list.
Yeah. Correct.
Mike Sullivan being put in as future festival site coordinator.
Woohoo.
And Marilyn Sullivan has stepped up to assist with the membership director. However, she does require a license for FileMaker Pro. So that would be part of this, that if she is approved, she would need that license for her computer. I would like to add to this, if the board doesn't mind, that we also send a thank you to Todd Strong and Will and Rhonda Murray, thanking them for their service.
Absolutely.
As well as the others who have resigned, because we have Stephen Ragatz, who has also resigned from his position. So those who have resigned, I'd like to send them a thank you for their time. So, do we have someone make the motion?
How should we word that motion? I move to instate all the.
You so move.
I so move.
There you go. And the second.
A second. Kevin McBeth.
Okay. Any questions, any comments, discussion? If not, anyone opposed? Anyone abstentions? If not, the motion passes by unanimous consent. The next motion in front of us is a motion to move ahead with the proposed October fundraising effort, which I had taken a straw poll online about, and most of us were in favor of that, but I need a motion for this.
I so move. Ken Ferris.
Okay. Second?
Second. Kevin Exit.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. I just want to publicly say to Sandy and those helping her, thank you for undertaking this. It's important for the organization to have something like this in place. All right, if there's no further discussion, anyone opposed? Any abstentions? All right, passes by unanimous consent. Kevin, there was a motion that you needed to make concerning the store.
Yep, I need a motion to upgrade our PayPal account. This runs $30 a month. It will greatly improve transaction ease. What it does is it allows us to process credit cards directly so people don't have to go through the PayPal website, which has been a sticky point for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And causes a lot of issues on the back end with orders not getting processed correctly. So in my mind, it's an absolute no-brainer.
Yeah.
So I guess I need to move it. Yeah.
Yep, you can.
I guess I need to make the motion. Yeah. So, let's see. Motion to approve the PayPal credit card processing upgrade.
I second. Enter.
Okay, any discussion? If not, anyone opposed? Abstentions? If not, motion carries by unanimous consent. Good work, Kevin. I have under Varia the Rochester, Minnesota Fest proposal. Mike, do you recall offhand, if you're still online, when we need to make a final decision on that? Because it's already been a long night for us.
No, I don't know. I'll look, and I was going to be calling the contact there tomorrow to discuss it all and try and set up a site visit for myself soon.
Okay.
But I think it's not sooner than October.
Okay, so that gives us a little, we don't need to deal with that tonight. We've also been contacted, I got a phone call from Houston, Texas. They're interested in submitting a bid possibly for 2011, 12, or 13.
Again, if you would be so kind as to forward to me all of that info, I'll start following up with them tomorrow as well.
That's what I was going to do. Very good. All righty. Anything else?
Additionally, the city of Duluth, Minnesota, has also contacted Todd Strong and is expressing interest in a future festival site location, being a future site location.
Okay.
So, knowing that now, Kevin, I'll call them and interject myself into that.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
This is Kevin just saying that I'm really, really glad to have Mike to have you on as the future site coordinator.
Oh, well, thank you, Kevin.
Yes.
Think it'll be fun, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, I'm just thrilled with all of our volunteers. Mike, you've done an amazing job. Marilyn, thank you for stepping forward.
No problem.
Holly, thank you for all you do. I know this has been a long board meeting, but we had a lot that needed to be discussed, and I'm sure September's will be pretty long as well because of the magazine contract. And we all have things on our plate that we have to do between now and the next meeting. I just want to say one thing, that if you are able to get on and discuss some issues on the forums prior to coming to the meeting, sometimes that helps to expedite the meeting a little quicker, but, you know, that's however you prefer to do it. But usually pre-talk sometimes helps to get through some points. Talking in person is always a good thing, too, though. So just keep on top of the forums and the emails and whatever we each have assigned to us for the next couple of weeks. Let's just all keep in contact on it, that's all.
Kim, this is Marilyn.
Sure.
What should I do about the FileMaker ProLife? Mike was saying some of you educators could probably get a pretty good deal on the license. I'm not an educator.
I think I can get a cheap deal at Stanford here. I know I used to be able to do that.
Yeah.
It used to be like $150. I don't know what the plane
cost
is.
That's right. So, yeah, I think so, Martin. So if you wouldn't mind looking into that, that would really help.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be good, because educators at my level actually don't get as good a deal as the universities do.
Okay, great. In the interim, I can use Mike's computer.
Is there a particular version? Sorry. Is there a particular version of FileMaker Pro? I'm just looking for the
latest
version.
No, just get the latest version, and it's always cross-platform, so they get both Windows and Mac on the same CD.
What is the latest version? Is it 10?
I think it's 10 now, yeah.
Okay. So should I go ahead and purchase it for them if I find a good price? Around 150, is that what you guys are asking me to do?
Yes.
That's what I would ask you to do, as long as the treasurer and the chair agree.
That's what I'm asking.
I agree.
I'm fine.
Kevin?
And then have,
Kevin?
And then have
yep.
it sent to Maryland.
And then what, Mike?
Have it sent to Maryland.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're good to go, Martin, if you're able to find that. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, our next meeting, the third Wednesday of September, is actually September 16th.
Is there going to be any more discussion of the magazine tonight?
Let's take a look.
Not unless you would like to.
No, you put off.
Wait, there was one. I'm sorry. Yep. I skipped it, and then I wanted to come back to it. One final motion, gang, I'm sorry. Motion to move to a tiered membership system to allow choice of print or digital magazine format. Do we have a motion for that?
Can I make a quick question, or is that for discussion?
That would be in discussion.
Judging from what we all talked about earlier, I'll go ahead and make that motion. I move to switch the magazine to the tiered format. I do so move.
And we need a second?
I'll second it. Again.
Okay.
Again,
any further? Go ahead.
I have discussion, and that is, I suggest you reword this motion before you pass it. Unless you're prepared to pass a bylaws amendment at the same time, and I mean the
okay.
same time, in the same motion.
Okay.
You can't have a tiered membership change like this, according to my interpretation. I'm not a lawyer, but that the bylaws explicitly say what types of memberships we have.
In that case, can we table this motion for future?
I say we table it, knowing that we all support it in principle. And we'll just come up with the word.
Yeah, I think that's a wise decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Not really ready to do a whole lot with it.
Okay, so Anyone opposed to tabling this motion? Anyone abstain? Okay, this motion is tabled. Okay.
Kim?
Yes. Hello?
I had another, I had a various item, it's a question for
Tom.
I read your report, Tom, back when it was sent. So I don't remember everything in it, and I can't find it right now. So my question is, did you cover how to reach out into the international community?
I did not, no.
All right. Well, I've been getting emails from some foreign nationals. I'm going to email you what I have rather than talk about it here, but I'll send it to Board Plus with just some ideas, and hopefully when I get back, I'll put it on the forum, and we'll get some opinions from other people.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, I'm hitting send right now.
Perfect.
Okay, anything else? All right, as I said, next meeting, third Wednesday of September, is the 16th. Is that bad for anyone?
One week in September, I'm going to be in Denmark, and then another week, I'm probably going to be in Chile. So we'll work it out with something like this.
Okay, you don't know which weeks yet?
Okay. Not at all.
Okay. All right. Well, if everyone else is all right with the 16th, let's set our next board meeting for September 16th, 2009. At 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Great.
We need a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Okay, and as we learned in Winston-Salem, we need a second.
A second.
Second that motion.
Okay. Meeting's adjourned at 10:26 p.m. Eastern Time.
You also need to vote on it, I have to say. It's a motion.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're gonna be proper anyway.
I'm trying to be. Okay. Anyone opposed? Anyone abstain? Now the meeting's adjourned at 10:26. Thanks, Martin.
All right.
Thank you all for being so patient. Have a good night.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.